Thanks for joining us today at Springwell Church, where we want to draw spiritually thirsty people to Jesus by loving God, loving each other, and loving the world. We hope that today's message builds you up, gives you a little insight, and helps you find a brand new perspective. You can find us in Taylor, South Carolina, and online at springwell.org. That's springwell.org. Now let's jump into the message.
What if I told you that there is a secret weapon at your disposal? What if I told you that in those moments that you feel alone, that you feel fearful, what if I told you there was someone you could cry out to? What if I told you that in moments where you felt like you were lacking, that there was someone who you could share those concerns with, someone who could actually bring something to that place of lack? What if I told you that when you're all alone, when you feel like nobody else wants to talk to you, that there's someone that you have access to? And what if I told you that this secret weapon of sorts was available to you at any time and in any place? Of course, that secret weapon is prayer. Prayer can be defined as a relational conversation between man and God. I saw a study from Barna Research Group, who does studies around the church and around religion. And from 2017, they said that 79% of people in 2017, and I would imagine this number has slightly dropped since 2017, but 79% of people have at least prayed once in the past 3 months. They've prayed in some way to something at least once in the past 3 months. The same research study said that basically white people don't like to pray out loud. Y'all listen to this. Some of y'all are like, yeah, that's right. Black, 27%, Hispanic, 16%, are much more likely to pray out loud and express outwardly their prayers compared to white Americans at 8%. What is wrong with y'all? What is wrong with us? Why don't we like to pray out loud? And then it said that out of American adults who pray regularly, 62% pray prayers of thanksgiving and gratitude. 61% pray for the needs of their family or their community. And 61% also pray during times of personal crisis. They pray for guidance. Over the next few weeks, I want us to open up this topic of prayer. I want us to discuss from a practical standpoint about what prayer is, what it does, how to do it. Mainly because I desire for us to be a praying church. Because I really do believe that prayer is the one weapon we have for the things that we long for. And so my desire as one of your pastors is for us to be a praying church, not a church that prays perfect prayers or prays overly spiritual prayers, but a church of praying people who pray real prayers, pray relational prayers, and communicate with God effectively. And I have to admit, unfortunately, I don't think that the church has done a very good job of talking about prayer. I think it's kind of become one of those things of there's a lot of people who don't know how to pray but are afraid to ask how to pray. It's kind of like, have you ever met somebody and you've known them for like 6 months, but you still don't know their name? And so you're past that what's your name window. I gotta be honest, I'm like that with some of y'all right now, but it's not because I don't love you, it's because I'm terrible with names. But have you ever gotten past the what's your name window? And I think there's a lot of people sitting in churches today who have been coming to church or have been believers for a long time, and they don't know how to pray, but they feel like they're past that how do I pray window. And so I feel like we have a responsibility to learn about prayer. So over the next 3 weeks, today I'm going to unpack what is prayer. What is prayer? Next week, we're going to look at the nuts and bolts of how to pray. And then the third week, we're going to talk about, does prayer really change anything? And why aren't my prayers answered sometimes? So I would really encourage you, don't miss the next few weeks. I think it's important. We're going to do some things that it's not going to be the same to go back and watch it online. You're welcome to do that, but it's just not going to be the same. So I would encourage you to be in the room over the next few weeks as we unpack this topic of prayer. And I will go ahead and admit that I'm going to try to teach this to you. Now, if you know me, you know that I like to get excited. I like to yell a little bit. So I'm going to try my best to stay planted and to teach you a little bit about prayer, okay? I'm going to try not to raise my voice for the next few weeks. How many think I can actually do it? Okay, I probably won't be able to do it, but that's my attempt, is to teach you about prayer over the next few weeks. I want to start this today with the title of Talking with Jesus. Talking with Jesus. And if you want to kind of read a book that kind of goes along with this, J.D. Greer wrote a book called Just Ask, and I'm going to borrow a lot of what he talks about in that book. So if you want to read that, if you want something to kind of supplement these few weeks, that would be a great tool for you. But talking with Jesus. So let's look at Jesus. Let's talk with Jesus and kind of sneak up on his disciples and a conversation they have about prayer in Luke chapter 11. Starting in verse 1, this is what it says. It says, one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. I want us to kind of formulate a sentence as we go along today. Prayer is a conversation. Prayer is a conversation. Prayer isn't just a normal conversation, but prayer is our most important and powerful conversation that we can have. And because of that, prayer should be a priority. If you're a follower of Jesus today, prayer should be a priority. It shouldn't be something you tack on right before a meal. It shouldn't just be something that you do before you go to bed. Now I lay me down to sleep. No, prayer should be a priority. If you are a follower of Jesus today, prayer is essential in your life because the way you build a relationship with God is through conversation, and prayer is our avenue for that conversation. It is impossible for you and I to walk with Jesus and have the things that God wants to provide for us, the peace that he wants to give us, the joy that he wants to instill in us, the hope that he wants us to walk with. It is impossible for us to walk through life with the things of God without being people of prayer. In fact, you show me the people that have the things of God who can go through the times when all hell is breaking loose around them with such peace and calm, and I will show you someone who has prayer with God and someone who places a priority on conversating with God regularly. And this verse that we just kind of snuck up on Jesus and his disciples tells us how much of a priority it is. Because did you notice who was praying when the disciples, or who had just finished praying when the disciples kind of interrupting? It was Jesus. Now, I don't know about y'all. Y'all are probably much more holy than I am. But let me just go ahead and tell you, I ain't Jesus. Look at the person beside you and say, you ain't either. And if it's your spouse, say, but you're awfully close. I'm not Jesus. And so what that tells me, that is, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who has always been, will always be, the one who had the power to defeat death, hop on a cross, get crucified on that cross, get buried in a tomb and raised 3 days later, if that God, all human, if that powerful person of Jesus had to pray and conversate with God, that tells me it's important to me too. If Jesus, being very much God, has to connect with God in a personal way through prayer, I have to too, because I don't have the things Jesus has. We see Jesus throughout the Gospels praying at all different times. In Luke 3:21, Jesus prays at his baptism. In Luke 6:12, he prays before he chooses his disciples. That's a big moment. In Luke 5:16, he prays when the crowds begin to grow. In Luke 9:18, he prays before he asks his disciples, what do you believe about me? Luke 9:29, he prays at the transfiguration. Mark 1:35, he prays when he was all alone. So what's the point? Is prayer is an important conversation for us to have at all times. Prayer is power in all circumstances and in everything we go through. And not only that, but did you notice what the disciples asked Jesus? They said, Jesus, can you teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray? Now, the John that they're talking about there is John the Baptist. If you know John the Baptist's story, like, he was filled with the Holy Spirit literally before he was born. Do y'all remember that story? He's in his mom's womb. She comes up to Jesus' mom, Jesus in the womb. And the Bible says that John leaps in the womb of Elizabeth at the presence of Jesus. And not only that, but John the Baptist would give up his life to tell people. He would say, prepare the way. The Messiah, the one you've been waiting on, is coming. John sacrificed a lot, but it says that he still prayed. If Jesus has to pray, if John the Baptist has to pray, it's important for me to have a conversation with God on a regular basis. And it wasn't just John either, but apparently John thought it was important enough to teach the people who were following him how to pray too. So Jesus then, without hesitation, he doesn't lecture his disciples, which sometimes you kind of see, you know, you kind of see ticked off Jesus in parts of the Gospels when the disciples ask him a stupid question. He doesn't do that here. He responds and he says this in verse 2. Says he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Prayer is a conversation with God. So Jesus literally says, whenever you pray. Now, that seems like Jesus is placing a priority on prayer here. Notice he doesn't say when you pray. He doesn't say if you pray, or he doesn't say if you get around to praying, if you have a few moments in your day, if life crashes down around you, pray. No, Jesus says whenever you pray. Whenever. In other words, he's anticipating us doing it. This isn't a suggestion. He's saying whenever you pray. So it brings up the question, when should you pray? Whenever. Whenever what? Whenever you're sad? Yes. Whenever you're happy? Yes. Whenever you're confused? Sure. Whenever you're lost? Yes. Whenever you're at peace? Yes. Whenever you're restless? Sure. Whenever you have plenty of rest. Some of you are like, that's never happened. But if it does, yes, you can pray then. Whenever you need something, yes. Whenever you have all you need, yes. Whenever you're sick, whenever you're healthy, yes, yes, and yes. Whenever you pray is whenever. Whenever. Whenever you pray is whenever. And we pray because it is the only communication we have with God. Do you think about that? The only opportunity that you and I have to communicate to the one who literally hung the stars in the sky, the only thing that you and I have, the only connection we have with the one that can change everything in the blink of an eye is prayer. Did you know that God desires to hear you? That God desires to speak to you, that God actually wants to listen to you. Now, I know that some of you have a hard time believing that because you know you. You know the things that go through your mind. You know the things you've thought about doing. You know the things you did. You know the people that have abandoned you, the people who have literally said, I don't want to talk to you. I don't care what you think. But yet the God of the universe literally desires to sit and listen to you. And he's waiting eagerly for you and I to involve him in our life through prayer. And the amazing thing is, and we'll talk about this more next week, but the amazing thing is you don't have to come to God sheepishly with your tail tucked between your legs. No, you can boldly approach God because of your relationship with Jesus. You can even, I tell people this sometimes, you can even pray when you're sinning. What better way to correct your sin, to convict your heart than to pray to God literally in the midst of the sin. He is okay with it. He sees it anyway. You're not hiding anything from him. You think you can hide something from God? And you can literally, you can be in the middle of it and you can still pray, because that is how much God desires to listen to you. So Jesus goes through the nuts and the bolts of prayer, and that's what we'll do next week. And then he begins telling the story that's going to seem a little strange at first, but verse 5 says, "Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers," this is the way I hear him answering, "'Don't bother me. The door's already locked. My children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need.'" Now, I know what you're thinking. Like, if you don't know a ton about the Bible here, you're thinking, okay, is God like that angry get off my lawn neighbor in the story? Because that doesn't sound like the God you just said who wants to hear from me and talk to me. Yeah, it doesn't sound like the God y'all talk about every week. Is God the mean guy who won't even give 3 pieces of bread and get out of his PJs long enough to give me 3 pieces of bread? No, that's not Jesus's point. In fact, we often see Luke, in the book of Luke, we often see him talk about these stories that Jesus tells. And so what Jesus is doing is he's making a bigger point. God's not the angry, get off my lawn neighbor. No, what Jesus is saying is, he's saying, if this angry, tired, frustrated neighbor is willing to loan the bread to this guy, how much more is a loving heavenly Father who has his hand in your life and has everything at his disposal, how much more is God likely to meet your needs if you ask? You see, God's not the angry neighbor. No, the angry neighbor is Jesus is making a point and saying, no, even if this guy, as rude as he is willing to surrender because of the audacity of the person knocking on his door, how much more will your heavenly Father take care of you? How much more is God willing to interact into your life if you will ask? So the question is, why do we have to ask for things? If God's really that loving and God really has everything at his disposal, why do we have to ask? And here's what I would say, because as you read the Bible, it's apparent that there are some things that God withholds until we ask for them. It's kind of like a motion-activated door. You know, the door at the grocery store? That door is always ready to open, isn't it? That door has power and is waiting for somebody to step up to it so that it can open. Well, there are some things that God has for us that's motion activated, and God is waiting on us to ask. There's sometimes we have to make the ask before God will open it up, because that's how much God desires relationship with you. And so he is waiting for you to ask so that he can give you what he wants to give you. But it won't be unlocked until you ask. And by the way, sometimes I think we excuse our laziness and just say, I've been praying about it. Sometimes the motion activation isn't just your prayers, but it's going to apply for a few jobs. So we can pray, but sometimes we also have to do something. If you think about it, it really does make sense. I mean, just think about this idea from a personal parental view. Now, this analogy is not perfect, but y'all follow me, okay? Some of y'all are going to poke holes in this booger, and there are holes to be poked, but this is the way it's going to go. So my son recently has gotten into those icy pop things. Y'all remember the things that are like, they're this tall, they're this wide, they're different flavors. Some of you remember it because you still have the scars on the roof of your mouth from those plastic. Lately, for some reason, he's been wanting those. So those are in our freezer now. Now, if he comes up to me at 3:00 this afternoon and asks me for a popsicle, Am I going to give him one? Of course. But do you think I'm going to go to the freezer at 3 o'clock this afternoon and throw him a popsicle? No. So why does he get a popsicle? Because he's willing to ask. And I wonder how many of you today are waiting on God to give you something and do something, and he's waiting on you to get still enough and to come close to him enough and just simply ask for it. And I think this is where a lot of people get prayer all wrong, partly because I don't think pastors have done a good job teaching on the subject, because usually there's two types of teaching when it comes to what does our prayer actually do. There's this one group of people, if you hear, listen to messages about this or hear what they believe about it, there's this one group of people who say that God is going to only do this, that he has decided everything he's going to do. There's nothing that you can do about it. There's nothing, and your prayers don't really do anything. They don't really count. The only reason you're supposed to pray is because it's communication with God and it grows your relationship with God. That's one group of people. The other group of people believe that if I can pray enough and I believe enough, God will give me a new Cadillac by 6 p.m. tonight. But neither one of those are true, and neither one of those is the principle that Jesus is trying to teach with this story. No, what he's teaching here boils down to you having a conversation with someone who wants to give you good things in the context of a personal relationship. Yes, he has good things for you. Yes, if you keep asking, he will answer. Yes, he will release things that you wouldn't get otherwise. But at the end of the day, he is the Father and he decides who gets the popsicle and when. Does that make sense? Because you're going to ask for some things sometimes. If Riley asks for a scorpion at 3 p.m. this afternoon, am I going to give him a scorpion? No, because I'm his father and I know it's not right, but there's some things that I'm going to give him because he asked, and there's some things that I'm not going to give him because it's not best for him. We have to trust God like that. So Jesus finishes this section. And in verse 9, he says, "So I say to you, ask it will be, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open." Ask, seek, knock. Do you notice something about those three verbs? Those are verbs, right? Okay. Do you notice something about those three verbs? Well, that's the definition of a verb, is action. Y'all go with me. All right. How about y'all over here? Do y'all notice something about those three verbs? Are they past tense or present tense? You got that one right. All three of those verbs are present tense. So in other words, what Jesus is saying is he's saying, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. In other words, prayer isn't just something we do when we're desperate. It's not just what we do when we get a bad doctor report or when we get pulled over on the highway going 20 over. It's not just something we do when we need money or get booked or get sick. No, prayer is a consistent asking, seeking, and knocking. It's a consistent conversation with God. In fact, Jesus in John 15 kind of calls this abiding, right? It's constant connection. It's constant communication and awareness of who God is in your life. So Jesus says, ask. Your ask is important. Making sure I pronounced the K there. Your ask is important. Maybe look to the person beside you and say, your ask is important. I'm just kidding. Y'all don't have to do that. That could get bad. Y'all are Springwell. I'm not opening that can of worms. But seriously, it's okay to ask God for some things, y'all. It's not selfish. It's not wrong. It's not bad. It's okay to ask. Just like the person needing food in the middle of the night, it's okay to ask God for things, to ask him for what you need, to ask him for what you want, to ask him to change things, to ask him for about things you don't understand. It's okay to ask God for things. It's an important part of your prayer life. It's not selfish. It's not greedy. It's okay, because what it does is when we bring our requests before God, what it does is it says, God, I trust that you can meet this. So if you ask for big things, don't feel bad for that, because you have a big God. It's okay to ask God for things that you want, because he's a good father. He wants to give you some things that you want. It's okay to ask. But then he continues the point. He says, ask and seek. You see, the seeking is the two-way communication. Remember, it's a two-way communication. It's me talking to God, but it's also God talking to me. So as I seek him, as I open his word, as I come to church, as I pray, as I seek him, he begins to speak things back to me. And here's what's amazing, and what you'll find is as you seek Jesus and you seek to live a life for him, and as you seek the things that he has for you, and as you seek him through his word, and as you seek him through prayer, all of a sudden what you'll find is the things that you're asking for him are the things that he wants for you anyway, because you've gotten to know him in a personal way. The Bible says that he would give you the desires of your heart. Well, that's not saying that any desire you have in your heart, he's going to give you. That's saying that he is going to literally put his desires in your heart. So as you seek him, you begin to pray in balance and in this dance with Jesus. And so all of a sudden, now you kind of know what he wants for you. You ask, you seek, and then you knock. I asked Melissa the other day, she says she doesn't remember this, but there was a time early in our marriage where we were living in the middle of nowhere, South Carolina. Like, if you go to the middle of nowhere, hang a right 3 miles on a dirt road, that was our house. So when we first moved there, I was young and I had a new bride, and so I was always worried about, like, somebody coming and killing us in the middle of the night. I'm just keeping it real. And so I would always lock the door. Well, there was this one particular day where I come inside, I lock the door, and I sit on the couch, and I'm thinking Melissa's in the back bedroom. Well, I have the TV on, and all of a sudden I hear this knock at the door. Well, it's drizzling. And one thing you should know about my wife is she hates to get rained on. And so as I'm trying to figure out who could be knocking at the door, and watching the football game at the same time, so I'm a little more interested in that, she begins to knock a little harder because she's getting wet. Do you think when she started knocking on that door, do you think she just knocked one time? Oh no, she about beat that thing down. Little 110-pound Melissa about beat that door down. Why? Because she needed something. She needed me in the moment. And some of you have prayed for things, and God hasn't done anything. And so you've stopped praying, and you've stopped believing. Keep knocking, y'all. Keep knocking like your life depends on it. Keep beating the door down, because God is and will answer. Ask, seek, and not like your life depends on it. And I'm fully realizing this morning, because I feel your pain. There are some people today and you feel like your knuckles are bloody, because you have been knocking at the door of God for so long about that thing. And I feel your pain. And all I would tell you this morning is come back for week 3. But also keep knocking. Keep talking. Keep seeking. So prayer is a conversation with God through Jesus. You've probably heard, I just did it a few moments ago, when people end their prayer, they say, in Jesus' name. Have you ever wondered why they do that? Some of you know. We always say, in Jesus' name, at the end of our prayer. I'll try to illustrate this point like this. This is my phone. I've got a text. Anyway, this is my phone. Now, I have an app on here like most of you do. If my phone will unlock. Boy, this is a terrible illustration. Okay. But I have a little app on here called Safari that connects me to the internet. I don't have internet in my phone. Some of you that don't understand technology probably think the internet's literally in your phone. But I don't have internet in this phone. If I did, then you wouldn't have internet in your phone because I certainly wouldn't share it because I don't trust you that much. But I don't have internet in this phone. What does this phone allow me to do? This phone allows me to access the internet, right? So when we say in Jesus' name, and the reason why we do that is because Jesus is the one that allows us to access the throne and the ear of God. Because you see, you and I, we are sinful, sinful people. God is a holy, holy God. And so we don't deserve this amazing ability to come to him and talk to him and ask for things and to knock on his door. We don't deserve that ability. But because of our relationship with Jesus, we now have open access to boldly approach the throne of God. And so now when God looks at you, because of what Jesus has done, because you have literally received the perfection of Jesus, now when God looks at you, you can go up to his throne like a sinless human being, just like Jesus. So through Jesus, in Jesus' name, you have the power and the right to access the things of God and the throne of God. Let me give you some verses that'll help. John 14:13 says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it." John 14:6 says it like this. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." So when we come to God, the only reason we can do that is through our relationship with Jesus. He is our mediator. He is our advocate, he is our forgiveness, and we depend on his merit, not our own. But through him, you are a son or a daughter of the Most High King, and you have a perfect father who really, really, really wants to hear from his kids. With your mistakes, with your past, with your request, he will listen to you. And so where I'm going to leave this morning is I'm going to leave this at a place to encourage you to pray some bold prayers. To knock at the door of God with some bold, bold prayers. I want you and I want to challenge you to pray desperate prayers, to pray excited prayers, to pray quiet prayers, to pray loud prayers, to pray words that you don't have, to pray words that you don't even understand, to pray about everything, to pray at all times. You have a Father who wants to listen to you, and through your relationship with Jesus, you can boldly step up to his recliner in the sky and say, "God, I don't have the answers. But I need something here, God. I need you. God, I want you. God, I don't want just the things of you, but I want you." You have the power to come to God and say, "God, I'm desperate right now. God, I'm hurting right now. God, I'm alone right now. God, I don't know where to go right now. God, I'm at my wit's end right now. God, would you please do something?" You have the power to come to God and say, "God, the bank account is low. You can see the balance just like I can. God, I don't know what to do. God, my kids, I love them so much and I know you love them, but have you seen them lately? God, do something, please, just do something." You have the power to pray a prayer and directly communicate with an almighty, but all loving, heavenly Father. Ask. Every head bowed and every eye closed. There's some of you this morning who do not have a relationship with Jesus. And maybe the reason why your prayers haven't been working is because you don't have the advocate that you need. Jesus paid his life for you too, and it's not too late. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus this morning and you feel like, I want it, I want to surrender to it, you can pray this prayer. There's no magic to this prayer. It's just a confession. Just say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I do things I shouldn't. I ask you to forgive me. I believe that it's by your power, by your forgiveness, that I can live a forgiven life. So would you come into my life? I surrender it. I aim to follow you. I aim to surrender control of my life to you. I want to talk with you. I want to seek you. I want to knock on your door when I don't know what else to do. I want to knock on your door first thing in the morning. Come into my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. You probably either moved or hopefully you didn't sit on. That would have hurt. A card that was in your chair. Throughout this series, we're going to give you those cards each week. And we want you to write your prayer request on those. And what you can do with those is, as the band sings this next song, you can come and you can place them in this box. And you can surrender whatever is on your mind to God. There's also some baskets by the doors. If you don't feel comfortable moving up front to the front, we totally understand. We still want you to participate. But what we're going to do as a church staff is we're going to commit to praying over those requests every week of this series. And on September the 17th, we're going to have a church-wide prayer night that you're invited to. And we're going to pray over those requests, not by name, so don't worry about that. But we're going to pray over those requests as a church family. Because, y'all, there's power in our prayers. What I can't wait for is I can't wait for the things that you write down today or next week or the week after. I can't wait for you to see those things be answered. And Brian, I want to go a little bit off script here, but if you'll join me up here, I just feel like there's some people who need to turn in a prayer request, but maybe you need somebody to pray with you. And so, first off, there's nothing special about our prayers. You have the same access we do. But we want to pray with you if you want somebody to pray with you. So as they sing this song, you can stand, you can sit. But I just feel like there's somebody in here who wants to know that somebody has prayed with them. So whatever you need to do for this time, it's yours.